Jesus and the Manuscripts is the title of a new book. The author is Dr. Craig Evans, who teaches at Houston Baptist University. He's also the author of other books as well. You can check out his website at craigevans.com. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Dr. Evans, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry.
Sure. All right, tell us about the book, Jesus and the Manuscripts.
You know, one of the things I've learned every time there's a big scandal or something in the news about a new discovery and people are wondering, what do we make of this? It becomes clear to me that it isn't just Christians, but everybody doesn't really understand much about the ancient writings where Jesus is talked about. Everybody knows about the four Gospels in the New Testament, but you get outside of that, there's a lot of confusion. In fact, even scholars don't know as much as they should. So I began working on this book almost 10 years ago, and I just wanted people to be able to access in a single volume the oldest manuscripts that we have that talk about Jesus. And so the introduction and the first two chapters talk about the familiar Gospels of the New Testament, you know, how old the manuscripts are, how long they remain in circulation and continued to influence the text to keep it stable. But the other chapters talk about other manuscripts, including the Quran, Jewish writings, and so on, where the Jesus story is told differently, inscriptions, fragments, pieces, remains of old books. And I just wanted to bring it all together so that people know what is out there, even stories about Jesus' childhood. I think it's an interesting book. I'm getting a lot of very positive feedback. But, you know, it's got some great pictures. People can actually see what the manuscripts look like in different languages and that kind of thing. And it was a lot of fun writing, a lot of work and a long time, and I hope it does a lot of good.
Huh, great. Can we trust the Gospels?
Oh, absolutely. This idea that the text has been scrambled, it's been changed, I mean, that's nonsense. It's remarkably stable, and the evidence is there. That's another reason for writing this book. Let's just look at the evidence. Let's look at the manuscripts. Let's see what's there. Turns out these manuscripts were written by competent scribes. In fact, many of the early gospel copies, the copies of the gospel manuscripts, were by professional scribes. Many of them weren't even Christians. They had no motivation to make any changes. They didn't have a particular theology, a particular preference for how to view Jesus. They had no motivation to change it. They wouldn't have known how to. They didn't even know these certain writings would end up in the Bible. So this idea that there's a conspiracy to make changes so that Jesus' portrait looks different, I mean, that's really silly. The Dan Brown stuff, the Da Vinci Code stuff, the idea that Emperor Constantine selected the books or selected the Gospels for the New Testament. There is no basis for that in history. And so I wanted to set the record straight and talk about how well-preserved the text is, and also, in contrast, other writings whose texts aren't so well-preserved. Pieces and parts are lost, changes have been made, and that kind of thing. But in comparison to that, the New Testament Gospels are very stable. And so when you sit down and you read Matthew or Mark or any of the Gospels, you're reading the text, and it's the way it was written originally, and it's been well preserved.
Okay. Unfortunately, Dr. Bart Ehrman of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, has written a lot of best-selling books, but he gives the overall impression, no, we really can't trust the New Testament. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't agree with him. I've debated him several times, but that more extreme view that you very accurately summed up just now is in his popular writings. It's not in his scholarly writings. So that's the interesting thing. And that's one of the jokes in the discipline. If you're going to debate Bart Ehrman, you need to ask him at the beginning, which Bart Ehrman are you debating tonight? Is it the popular writer who says these kind of things, or is it the scholar whose stuff is actually a little more conventional? He is right to note that, sure, there are scribal mistakes, and in later manuscripts, some scribes do, in fact, make deliberate changes. They're very minor, but we have the older copies, and lots of them. And so when a scribe accidentally or deliberately makes a change, it sticks out. It's very noticeable because that change hasn't been made in the other manuscripts. And so the idea that the text has been altered and now we really don't know how it originally was written, there's just no basis for that.
Huh, that's good. Let me ask you a question. You say you started this book about 10 years ago. Was there a particular catalyst event that made you think, ah, I got to write a book about this? Somebody's got to know, you know, the truth and have it all in one volume.
Yeah, actually, there was a catalyst for it. It was the discovery somebody had written a book, actually, ironically, somebody at Bart Ehrman's University, who was in the Department of Classics, and he was doing some research on Roman libraries. And one of the sections in his study in 2009 is he just happened to remark, gosh, you know, literature lasted a long time. If you had a copy of Plato or a copy of a playwright like Euripides, it might last 200 or 300 years. And because I can remember when I was in graduate school, I asked a professor one time, you know, how long did the autographs, that is the original writings of biblical books, how long did they last? And he says, oh, that's a good question. I don't know, 10, 20 years. And turned out, no, add another zero to the end of that. It's more like 200 years or 300 years. That's what got me going. And I published a study on that, and one thing led to another. And the evidence now is conclusive, the archaeological evidence, physical, artifactual evidence, that literature, you know, a scroll, a book roll that has not business papers or letters, but literature would remain, it was precious, it would remain in circulation and in use for 200 or 300 years. And there's no reason to think that the original writings of the New Testament circulated for less than that. And that meant it kept influencing copies because you had the originals and people would compare them. And so we've got fragments of second century texts, third century texts. By the end of the third century, we have the whole Greek New Testament text. And when these copies were made, the original writings were still available, still circulating.
Wow, that's so cool. What is the oldest that we have, the oldest reference to Jesus, let's say, in print?
Oh, hey, that's really interesting. We may actually have a reference to Jesus on a pagan magic cup that could date to about the year 50. I mean, that really is amazing. It's a cup that circulated perhaps originally 100 B.C., and then somebody in the middle of the first century scratched the words, "The magician has his power through Christ." And so some pagan had heard about this wonder worker from Israel named Jesus who can heal people and cast out evil spirits. And so he scratched Jesus' name on the cup. I mean, that's really ironic. You know, Jesus' name was first written down, of course, at the cross when he was crucified. But we don't have that anymore. But this cup was found in the water at Alexandria, Egypt, in 2008. So that might actually be our oldest reference. Of course, we have an ossuary, a bone box, that could reference Jesus, that says James, the son of Joseph, brother of Jesus, and that would date to the year 63. So that would be another very old candidate for the first time Jesus' name is written down.
I thought the James ossuary was, you know, cast out as a fake, and the guy was arrested.
You know, Jerry, I'm so sorry to hear you say that.
Well, I don't know. That's what I heard.
It just shows you how the media gets things wrong.
Oh.
And then when the correction comes out, it's on the 25th page, and nobody notices that.
Oh, well, tell me.
Yeah, there was the allegation. You know, it was announced in the fall of 2002. I was one of the first to see the thing. And immediately some skeptics were saying, oh, it's been fake. Jesus' name was added later, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, they had a bunch of scholars study it, and 14 out of 15 said it's authentic. The 15th guy, he was a geochemist. He said, no, it's fake. The patina's faked and so on. Well, it went to court. He retracted his testimony and admitted that it was genuine. So then that was the way it got settled. Oh, it's been 6 or 7 years. It was settled that it is authentic. And so the question is not, is it ancient, is it authentic? The question is purely identification. So is this James? Is this Joseph? Is this Jesus? The people we know about in the New Testament, we're not certain about that. But the ossuary and its inscription are genuine. There's no question about that at all. That's been conclusively and scientifically proven.
Huh. Okay, fantastic. How do the New Testament manuscripts, how do they stack up when compared with other writings of antiquity?
Well, basically, in a word, overwhelmingly, most other manuscripts from antiquity, we have very few copies. Some of them, you know, we have 200 or 300 copies, not bad. But we have some ancient writings. We don't even have a complete copy. We have maybe 3/4 of the whole writing, and that's it. Sometimes we just have 4 or 5 manuscripts, and that's all. In the case of the New Testament, we have dozens that are quite old, dozens of copies, hundreds of copies that are old, and on up until the time of the printing press, you know, we have, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 Greek New Testaments. They're not all necessarily complete. So we have a very strong record. That's in Greek, of course, another several thousand in Latin translation and other languages. So the textual tradition of the Greek New Testament is very strong, stronger than the any other writing from antiquity. So it does compare very well.
And how about the Old Testament? How does that stack up, let's say, in contrast with other writings of antiquity, but also in contrast with, say, the New Testament?
Well, it's not, you know, we don't have as many ancient Old Testament manuscripts as the New Testament, but the Dead Sea Scrolls gave us over 200 copies of various Old Testament books, and what we found was tremendous stability once again. And let me illustrate that. The oldest copy we had of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, dated to about the year 1000. Well, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, we jumped back in time 1,000 years. Take one example, Isaiah. We went all the way back from 1000 A.D. to about 200 B.C. That's the great Isaiah scroll from Cave 1. And almost nothing is missing, maybe the odd word or two at the bottom of some columns because of decomposition of the leather. And so we have 99% of Isaiah's text preserved, and it's all the same. All 66 chapters are there. It's clear it's the same text. So that's pretty good to leap back in time 12 centuries and discover the text is the same. So that should give us a lot of confidence in how well preserved the Hebrew Bible is, the Old Testament, and therefore compares very, very much with the New Testament.
And as the scribes were, you know, making copies of these, in many cases, these people were, you know, feeling like I'm handling the very word of God, and so they wouldn't, you know, fool around. They, you know, would be very careful.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. What they typically did, they would very carefully take the leather, prepare the leather, make a scroll out of it, and then they would do scoring. That is, they would take a ruler and a stylus and make like a line, an impression in the leather, and then that's why their lines are so neat and straight. And then somebody would carefully proofread, and if there was a mistake found, then it was immediately corrected. And New Testament writers did that too. And by the way, that creates the false impression that the manuscripts contain lots of mistakes, and then somebody, you know, but actually it's just careful proofreading. You know, it wasn't a computer. They couldn't, you know, the way we do it today, and then when you hit the print button, out comes a very clean copy. But somebody would carefully proofread, and if there was a mistake, and these are handwritten manuscripts, and there is fatigue that sets in, and yes, sometimes a scribe would omit a word or a whole phrase, then it was carefully written in the margin so that somebody reading it would not miss anything. So that's typical of these manuscripts. The idea, though, that they would tear up the manuscript and burn it if they made one mistake, that's mythology. They did not do that.
Huh. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Again, the name of his new book is Jesus and the Manuscripts, and the subtitle would be What We Can Learn from the Oldest Text. And you can learn more information at craigevans.com. Dr. Evans, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye now.